live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University. It is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Man, I have not said that in a while. To be exact, I have not said that since Monday. Wow, I can't believe that. I can't remember the last time around this time of the year in which we have not had a current sports show, not one, not two, but 3 days straight. Of course, due to WKAR's special coverage of the President Donald Trump impeachment hearings, we have been streaming those hearings live on WKAR News Talk, AM 870 and 105.1 FM. Yes. Good drop there, Alec Rio, behind the glass. also, on our website at WKAR.org. So we've been pushed off the air. We have been preempted these past 3 days. And there may be more of that in the coming weeks, depending on how long these hearings go. So we'll just keep you posted, man. We'll try to keep you guys posted on our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News. Also, my Twitter feed. Follow me on Twitter at Al Martin WKAR. So, but we sit here now on November 22nd. Can you believe that we are less than, what, a week away from Thanksgiving now? That's insane in the membrane. Just 6 days away from Thanksgiving. And, of course, we won't have a show on Thanksgiving or the day after Thanksgiving. So keep it posted there. We'll be having updates as to our holiday plans for WKAR's Current Sports. So keep it locked to our social media pages for that news as well. But, man, since we have not been on the air for 3 days because of President Donald Trump, thank you, President Trump, I have been, like, foaming at the mouth, man. Ready for somebody to turn on my microphone and just talk. Because there has been so much that has gone down this week. I mean, my goodness, you had Mark D'Antonio during his weekly press conference. Mark, you know, he hit the podium and said, look, I plan to come back. I plan on being your Michigan State football coach come next season during that season opener against Northwestern. A lot of mixed reaction there. I'm going to break down my thoughts on that. You'll get my thoughts on that. They're not going to be really surprising thoughts. Stay tuned for that. Also, Joey Hauser, we finally, what took so long? We finally know the fate of Joey Hauser in his first year, his transfer year as a Michigan State men's basketball player. We have been waiting for a long time for the NC2A to decide whether or not Hauser could play immediately or if Hauser would have to sit out a year and then hit the hardwood next season. So we got an answer to that news yesterday. And also this whole Colin Kaepernick story has dominated sports and news headlines throughout the week as well. The whole workout controversy. I have been asked by many out there, Al, what do you think of Colin Kaepernick? What went down during that workout where it was supposed to be held at the Atlanta Falcons training facility? Cap didn't like what was going down there. I'll comb through the specifics later on this hour. But he didn't like what was going down there and decided to hold his open training session to the public and the media, like 60 miles down the road at a high school. And then he had a little speech that he that he voiced after the workout. It was bizarre. And many people have different takes on it. You know, Stephen A. Smith has made headlines of ESPN's First Take. Stephen A. Smith has made headlines because, you know, his opinion may be the minority opinion of the black community. Because the black community, my brothers and sisters, we have been in Cap's corner. And then you have Stephen A. coming out and saying that, oh, you're making yourself out to be a martyr. You don't really want to play in the National Football League, so on and so forth. And no, I'm not going to give that take right now. Not going to give my take right now. Stick around for that. Because I got some thoughts on that. All right. So it's going to be a loaded show because we're trying to cram and make up for 3 days here throughout this hour. We'll try to do our best. Also, MSU football does play a football game against one of the worst Division I football teams in all of college football. I tell you what, if Michigan State loses this game, Rutgers, come on. Come on. Michigan State should beat Rutgers by 20 points. I don't care how bad of a year this has been for MSU football. That one won't be close tomorrow. If it is, heck, I would consider like a two-touchdown win. I would consider like a 14, anywhere from, you know, upwards of 14 points, a loss for MSU football tomorrow. I mean, Michigan State should win by at least 3 touchdowns. So there's that going on. You got the Pistons also in action this weekend. The Detroit Pistons play tonight, actually. The Detroit Red Wings, they played last night. You got MSU hockey in action this weekend. MSU volleyball in action this weekend. Just a very busy, busy, busy time of the year for sports. Gotta love it, all right? So if you want to weigh in, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. That is the number to call. Go to Facebook.com/WKAR News. Watch the show there. Comment below that live stream, just like a few of you are already doing. Thank you so much. You can also tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. Again, as you heard, Alec Rio with a few drops there. He is the man behind the glass on this Friday, November 22nd. And here are your current sports quick hit headliners. Let's start here. As I mentioned, Michigan State men's basketball coach Tom Izzo said that the NCAA denied an appeal for immediate eligibility for Marquette transfer Joey Hauser. That means the sophomore will sit out this season per transfer rules and will not be able to play for the Spartans until next season. All right. This is what Izzo had to say on Thursday. Quote, Joey did have a strong case. And I'm devastated, if you want to know the truth. Izzo said the decision on the Hauser situation and the current handling of transfer waivers by the NCAA caused him to actually resign from the National Association of Basketball Coaches Board of Directors on Wednesday night. Quote, I'm devastated, if you want the truth. Wow. So, again, those are words from a frustrated coach who thought that Hauser had a really good opportunity to become eligible. And when you compare these, again, I'll dive into this later on this hour. When you compare what happened to Joey Hauser to how other players at other schools have been ruled eligible in that first year of the transfer, I just don't get it. I don't understand it. So Izzo clearly frustrated resigning from the NABC Board of Directors. 18 years of service for Izzo on that board. So he did say he wanted to focus on his team and family. And again, he blamed the NCAA for making what he called, quote, arbitrary decisions, end quote, regarding waiver request. So a very candid, well, when isn't Izzo candid, right? But a very, very candid and to the point Tom Izzo yesterday. All right, the MSU women's basketball team, despite having an overall record of 21-12, well, actually, it's so early in the season for Michigan State women's basketball right now. MSU women's basketball will actually be playing on Sunday, as they will take on Hartford. Right now, when you look at MSU women's basketball, this is a really good team. They are 4-0 right now, so riding a four-game win streak, wins over Ferris State. That was the exhibition win, 85-45 there. And then they have beaten Eastern Michigan, Detroit Mercy, Notre Dame. That was huge, that Notre Dame win, because that was the number 15 team in the nation right there. And we all know how good the Fighting Irish are every single year. That was a 72-69 final. And then they just beat Oakland on the 19th. That was just this past Tuesday by a score of 76-56. So they will take on Hartford at 2 p.m. on Sunday. We'll see if Susie Merchant's team can improve to 5-0. All right, MSU football fans, there is a football game. Yes, tomorrow. To most, this game should be a snooze fest to see which Big Ten program can make more turnovers or sloppy plays. Who knows? But again, it's Rutgers. MSU football should beat Rutgers. All right, kickoff tomorrow will be 3:30 p.m. on the road for Michigan State out in New Jersey. Spartans taking on 2-8 Rutgers. It's Rutgers. I don't know how many times I want to say that throughout this hour, but it's Rutgers. In Michigan State, it's been well documented. They need to win out to become bowl eligible. So you play Rutgers this week, and then you play Maryland the following week. If Michigan State gets those two dubs, they become bowl eligible. We'll see. All right, former Michigan State football staffer Curtis Blackwell. He wants documents that led to a publicly released report of how university officials handled accusations of sexual assault by players. A federal judge will soon decide if that will happen, if those documents will be released. Curtis Blackwell, again, he's the former director of college advancement and performance slash camp director for the Spartan football team. He wants to get communications, witness interviews, and other documents from Jones Day, which is a law firm hired by Michigan State to review how the football staff handled reports of rape involving several football players. Blackwell left MSU in May of 2017. That's after head football coach Mark D'Antonio let his contract expire. He filed a federal lawsuit last November against Coach D, former president Luana K. Simon, former AD Mark Hollis, and two members of the MSU Police Detectives Department, Chad Davis and Sam Miller, seeking damages for a wrongful arrest and termination. And, you know, we still have, when it comes to Coach D'Antonio, you know, that deposition that's supposed to happen after the year, yeah, that's still on the docket for Coach D, who will have to sit in a deposition for, I believe, up to 7 hours. So that's still on the docket. And, yeah, I'm going to address that, too, when talking about what Coach D had to say about returning next season. All right. As I also mentioned, MSU hockey, they are in action this weekend. Michigan State has had an average start with a 5-5 record despite sweeping bitter in-state rival Michigan in that series last weekend. Danton Cole's squad moves forward to face the Notre Dame Fighting Irish tonight and tomorrow night. Both puck drops will start at 7 p.m. at Munice Arena. Notre Dame is 8-1-1 on the year so far, so this will be quite the challenge for the Spartans. Patrick Kotarinko, he leads the Spartans in scoring with 7 goals and 6 assists in 10 games played so far. The Detroit Red Wings continue to, the struggles continue to pile on as they lose to the Columbus Blue Jackets in a high-scoring affair, 5-4 last night. Young star Tyler Bertuzzi, he tallied 2 goals, and Luke Glendening and Philip Hornick both got goals in the loss. The Wings are now 7-14-3 on the season and are last in the Eastern Conference as of now. And my Detroit Pistons. The last time the Detroit Pistons and Atlanta Hawks met, Reggie Jackson played his last game for a while, and John Collins played four more before being suspended for violating the NBA's drug policy. So, the result of that game was a 117-100 Pistons loss. Since then, neither team has played well. They are both 4-10 and enter with losing streaks. Detroit has lost five straight and eight of its last 10 following a 2-2 start. The Hawks won their first two games and have lost 10 of their last 12 and are 2-9 without Collins. Matchup tonight, 7 p.m. At Little Caesars Arena. Or am I tripping there, Alec? Can we double check that? I thought the Pistons were on the road tonight. No, I'm sorry. No, the Hawks. Yo, you're right. The Hawks are at the Pistons tonight. I'm tripping. All right. I should know that. All right. The Detroit Lions, last but not least, the Lions sitting at a sizzling hot 3-6-1 when the season are facing an even worse team. Can you believe that? In the Washington Redskins on Sunday at 1 p.m. Tomorrow's this game will be a snooze fest as well. The Honolulu Blue are last in the NFC North, and the franchise QB Matthew Stafford is injured with a back injury. I doubt he returns this season at all. Last week, the Washington Redskins lost to the New York Jets 34-17. Many expected the Redskins to compete with the Jets, so the 17-point margin of defeat was a widespread disappointment. The Lions are looking to draft Jeff Driskel to start after going 15-26 with two touchdowns, zero picks last week in that loss to my Dallas Cowboys. So, yeah, the Detroit Lions, they have a football game at 1 p.m. I looked up some of the ticket prices for that game, and you can go to that game for as low as like $8 out in Washington. That's how sorry both of these franchises are. Not a hot ticket at all. I saw that on my fraternity brother's page. He's actually thinking about making a trip, I guess, to D.C. to check out those two lowly teams. So I'm like, dude, why even waste the gas? Why waste the money? Just stay home on your couch and watch that if you're that desperate. So
it's actually funny you mentioned that because I'm actually going to a Red Wings game on Sunday and the tickets were only $12.
Oh, yeah. But still, you're talking about the NFL. Alan.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
no, that's
the
fair.
NHL. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
And it's the Wings. The
yeah,
Wings that's
fair,
are horrible.
That's fair.
But it's the NFL, man. An NFL game ticket being sold for $8. I don't care how bad the two teams are. You just don't see that. So, yeah. All right. Well, that does it for your current sports quick hits headliners. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. That is the number to call if you would like to be a part of the hour. You can also weigh in via social media. Good old social media. Facebook.com/WKAR News. That's where the live stream is. And you can tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or at least hit that follow button. Or you can do the same by following or weighing in at WKAR News.
Future, but my intentions are to be the head football coach here. I've always said I live in the present, though. I've always said that. My father always talked to me in complete circles. Complete the circle. So that's what I'm trying to do.
Happy Friday to you all. I am your host of WKAR's current sports, Al Martin. If you're just now tuning in, thank you so much for allowing us to be a part of your weekday afternoon. We have been preempted these last 3 days due to our special coverage of the President Donald Trump impeachment hearings. So I haven't talked to you all since Monday. It feels good to be back in the saddle and doing a live show on WKAR AM 870 1051 FM. And you know what? I had planned to start our discussion period here on WKAR's current sports. I had planned to start with the Joey Hauser conversation. And I want to flip him, actually. I want to start with Coach D'Antonio. We'll get to Joey Hauser after the first break in about 10 minutes, all right? Because this was the news that led the week, and it was met with mixed reaction from Spartan Nation out there. You know, when I put this on our Facebook page, there were some that were like, all right, let's just wipe our hands clean of this man. Coach D, thank you for your service, but can we please move on? But I tell you what, there was a surprising amount of you all who commented and said, look, man, Coach D has earned the right to be given at least one more year. We all know he has to make changes to that assistant coaching staff, though. But Coach D, we're with you. We're behind you. I was very shocked. I was very shocked because I think with everything that's happened these last couple of years now, I thought, and I still think, the majority of you feel like, let's move on. But I could be wrong. It's hard to gauge now. I thought I knew. I thought I had a good finger on the pulse of MSU fans and how you feel about this topic. But then I read those comments, and even, you know, because I posted it on our WKAR news page. I had, you know, there were mostly positive comments about Coach D coming back or wanting to come back. Then I shared it on my own personal Facebook page. And that was also mixed. So I don't know. Maybe you guys have had a moment to kind of digest things with this season and have changed your mind. I don't know. But yeah, and I'll read a few of those right now. Kevin commented and said, "Good. I trust the greatest football coach in program history to turn it around before retiring. Obviously, the staff will have to change." Then you have Ryan that comments and says, "I plan to get rich next year. Doesn't mean it's going to happen." So Ryan taking a dig there. Then we have Bob that says, quote, "I don't hear him complain when the fans do a poor job of cheering or when they don't even show up for games. He's had some bad days, but he's had a lot more good ones. Let it be his call. We owe that to him. Remember, Coach is one of us, Spartan family." And David then comments and says, "That would be dumb and stubborn. Recruiting has taken a dive. His record in the last 4 years is worse than Brady Hoke's 4 years at Michigan, and they will lose all their best players this year with little to no talent replacing them." And then Tony says, "My support is gone until he retires. He's delusional." So you see, it's a mixed bag. It's a mixed bag. You know, it's kind of like when I was reading these comments, I felt like Tom Hanks in Forrest Gump. You know, it's just like a box of chocolates. I didn't know what I was going to get as I read comment after comment. So for me, this is how it goes for me. Would I like to see Coach D'Antonio decide to step down? Thank you for your service. You are the greatest Michigan State football coach and program history. Coach, please go out now. This job is weighing on you. We can all see it. It has been a bad couple of years. This year, there's really no excuse for it. Coach, please just step down. Yes, that's how I feel. That's how I feel. You guys know that. I'm not, you know, you're not shocked when you hear that from me, those who tune into this show on a regular basis. Because I do believe that there is some new blood that needs to be injected into this program. We've tried it Coach D's way these last few years, and it just has not worked, especially for me. It's all heightened because Coach D'Antonio decided to just play musical chairs with his coaching staff, the definition of insanity. is doing the same thing over and over and over and over and over again and expecting different results. That's exactly, it's insanity what Coach D'Antonio decided to do in the offseason heading into this year by playing musical chairs with his coaching staff. But then there's the other side of me that looks at this story, that looks at, and by the way, I was shocked, just like all of you were, that Mark D'Antonio even answered this question during his weekly press conference. The question was asked by Detroit Free Press beat reporter, my man Chris Solari. Do you plan to be MSU's head football coach next season when the season opener rolls around against Northwestern? Mark D'Antonio proceeded to say yes, not once, but twice. And then you heard him in that introduction soundbite underneath Freddie Joachim. Shout out to Freddie Joachim. Love his music. You heard Coach D'Antonio's response saying, I have to complete the circle. I want to finish what I started here. I want an opportunity to change things around, and I do plan to be here next season. So, I was shocked initially that he answered the question. I was shocked initially at his answer, but then it hit me like 5 minutes later. I mean, yeah, duh. He does expect to be here next year. Two things are going to happen here. We all knew that there were two possibilities here, that Coach D'Antonio was going to bow out gracefully and say, all right, I'm tired. I'm beaten up this year. I just don't feel like doing this anymore. It's been a bad, couple of seasons. You know, I need to step away. Either that was going to happen, or you were going to get the other extreme here, the other total opposite side, where Coach D'Antonio was going to vehemently proclaim that he plans to be here next season. He wants to be here next season. And that's not shocking either, because if you look at where Michigan State stands right now, you have an athletic director who is not going to fire Coach D'Antonio. Bill Beekman did not have any athletic experience until Mark Hollis stepped down and retired from that role as athletic director here at Michigan State University. Bill Beekman was on the board of trustees as a secretary. He was thrusted into that role, which many of us thought was going to be like a hold down the fort role until we find a permanent athletic director. And now here we are. But Bill Beekman had no AD experience. So from a perception standpoint, you look at Bill Beekman and say, okay, Bill's not going to rock the boat because he's still figuring out the job. He's not going to fire Coach D'Antonio. Come on. Nah, not going to happen. And then you have, we have a new president here in Dr. Samuel Stanley, who has much bigger things to worry about right now. He's focused on trying to get Michigan State into a better place in light of the biggest scandal in university history when it comes to the Larry Nassar scandal. That is much more serious than what's happening with the Michigan State football program. So Samuel Stanley has much bigger things to tend to. He's not worried about what's happening with MSU football, at least right now. So Coach D'Antonio is looking at this and saying, look, man, I don't have much pressure on me coming from my bosses. Yeah, I want to come around and, come back next season. And, Coach D'Antonio, he's an uber competitor. So he's looking at that and saying, okay, I'm not getting pressure from my bosses. I want to have an opportunity to write this thing, despite what fans say. Yeah, I want to come back next season. Oh, by the way, did we forget that Mark D'Antonio is owed $4.3 million on January 15th? That was a clause in his contract. Let's not forget that either. If he said that I'm stepping down and I'm retiring at the end of this season, that would ideally happen, before January 15th? Or he could give us the okie doke and grab that money on January 15th and come February say, hey, I'm stepping down, guys. He doesn't want to throw away $4.3 million, right? And by the way, that's what he gets paid annually. So Makes sense, man. Coach D'Antonio, I see you. But I am begging that if you are coming back next season, we are all begging. We are on our hands and knees, grabbing your shirt, tugging on it, looking at you dead in the eye as we well up and suffer through what is MSU football right now. We ask you one simple thing. Can you please bring in some new assistant coaches? That's all MSU fans want for Christmas right now. Can you please bring in some new names who can bring some new ideas, who can hopefully bring about a new record that is above, well above 500 next season for Michigan State football? How confident am I that that will happen? Not really.
Playoffs?
Yeah.
We'll talk about playoffs?
No.
You kidding me?
I'm not even.
Playoffs?
No, we're not even talking about playoffs here, Alec. I just want MSU to be competitive in the Big Ten East. That's all I want. I could care less about a college football playoff. MSU's not making that for a long, long time. Let's be real here. But just be competitive within the Big Ten East Conference. Can we? I think that's the least that Spartan fans want. That's the very least Spartan fans want right now. And in order to do that, you're not going to do that with the assistant coaching staff you got right now. Remember, the assistant coaching staff, most of them were on one-year rollover contracts. So you can make this change. But will you? Will you tell the homies that, look, man, it's been a good run. I love you guys. But I got to chuck up the deuces and do what's best for this program. Can Coach D do that? I'm not real confident that he can or will, just by looking at what's happened in the past. But I'm hoping he does. But even with that being said, can we address this? One more layer before we hit this first break. I kind of agree with David. Recruiting has taken a dive. His record in the last 4 years is worse than Brady Hoke's 4 years at Michigan. They will lose all their best players this year with little to no talent replacing them. That's what David said on my Facebook post. And I agree. I don't agree with all of that. But from the standpoint of where is the Michigan State football program in terms of talent on that roster, I don't know. I don't know if Michigan State has the talent to compete with the Penn States and the Ohio States and even the Michigans of the Big Ten Conference football world. I don't know, man. I don't look at really anybody on MSU football right now as of November 22nd, 2019, and put the word elite next to their name. And that's a problem. That's a big, big problem. So that's where I'm at with it. It's tough. I know. No guarantee that even if Coach D'Antonio decides to, you know, really, you know, fire assistant coaches and bring in, you know, some new blood, some new voices, some new opinions, some new systems. Still, I don't know if the players that are currently going to be on this roster come next season, come next year, can execute and impress. Do you have an elite player? I don't know. I think Michigan State has to at least look at the transfer portal and see who's out there, especially at that quarterback position. I mean, you'll lose Brian Lewerke. Brian Lewerke is not elite. You know, two seasons ago, we thought there was a lot of potential there, but he's not that guy. Where's the confidence in Rocky Lombardi and what, Theo Day? Not high. Who's going to be the quarterback for this team next season? I don't know. I just have so many questions. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we'll shift things to Michigan State men's basketball and talk about Joey Hauser getting the stiff arm from the NCAA. He will not be playing in his first transfer year from Marquette. That and more, you are listening to the Friday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. You just heard my thoughts on Mark D'Antonio making headlines earlier this week because he stated that he plans to be the head football coach here at Michigan State still when next year's season opener rolls around against Northwestern. And the other story that has Spartan fans talking was the news concerning Joey Hauser. Finally, we know the fate of Joey Hauser in his first year as a transfer from Marquette, now with the Michigan State men's basketball team. Well, Tom Izzo hit the podium this week and said that Joey Hauser's appeal has been denied by the NCAA. Yeah, he learned that he will be required to sit out this year after meeting by phone earlier this week with NCAA officials to make a final appeal to play this fall. He will be eligible, of course, come next season, but Izzo vehemently disagreed with this decision. The biggest reason seems to be that this whole process of trying to figure out whether or not a transfer player should be eligible in his first season, it seems to be quite random, right? It seems to be, let's just pick out of the hat yes or no when it comes to these players and just roll with that. How's that sound, guys? We all scream, yay, that sounds great. That's what it seems to be, because we see certain players who, at least what we know public-wise about these players, they don't really have a strong case. You know, I could see if it was something like, this is the thing with me. Something, it has to be something serious in terms of what occurred at that last institution. Because crazy things happen. You know, maybe a coach decides to leave, or maybe they had a fractured relationship, or also maybe that player has something going on in his family, or, you know, needs to be at a different program for some reason. I get that. I totally get it. But I don't, you know, you guys know how I feel about this whole transfer thing. I think that transfers should at least be given one mulligan. One transfer, that first transfer, where you're like, okay, you can play immediately because, again, you know, things happen. Things happen, man. Who cares? Sitting out a year? Come on, man. That's just so petty to me. But, you know, it seems to be a random process. It really does. You know, I think of, you know, many examples. You know, Justin Fields is a player in college football, you know, who received a waiver to play immediately after transferring following the 2018 year. Justin Fields of Ohio State immediately eligible. You know, earlier this week, we saw the NCAA clear forward Gabe, and I'm pretty sure I'm going to butcher his last name, but Gabe Asabuian to play at West Virginia. It's after approving his waiver request. TCU, they got a boost when Ohio State transfer Jadon Ladie, he was granted a waiver. I mean, there are countless examples. Now, do I know the specifics of Asabuian and Ladie, Fields? No, but especially when it comes to Fields, though, I didn't hear any story about, oh, Justin Fields, you know, had a horrible time at his last institution and he's got something going on personally. I didn't hear any of that. I don't know. And Izzo, according to Izzo felt like, especially if Izzo and the family of Joey Hauser, looking at the amount of waiver requests that were getting approved, the Hauser family and Izzo felt like Joey had a really strong case. Well, I guess not strong enough. And that says a lot. You know, Izzo being on the NABC board of directors for 18 years, it's a long time. It's a long time. Izzo being on that board for 18 years of service, he takes that role serious. And the fact that he decided to step away on Wednesday night, that says a lot about how he views this process, how he views it as flawed, and how flawed it is. It seems like a random process here. And if I'm Joey Hauser, yeah, I would be a little bit frustrated. If I'm MSU fans out there, yeah, I'm a little bit frustrated. I would love to see Joey Hauser, who, you know, from what I was hearing, if Joey Hauser had been given this waiver request, Joey Hauser would have been a starter on this team. He's that talented. I mean, conference, you know, first team, all freshman squad last year from Marquette. You know, a guy who averaged double-digit points. It's a solid player. Really good player. And, you know, MSU was already a good team without him, but I'm just saying, if you add Joey Hauser to the mix, I mean, that's that gives Tom a really good shot at possibly chasing ring number two, right? So I don't get it. I think the process is flawed, and I think that Izzo has a point in the fact that he was willing to step down from the board, from the NABC board of directors after 18 years of service. That shows you how much he disagrees with this process, and I think that speaks volumes. MSU basketball is going to be fine. Again, no need to panic, Spartan fans. You know, MSU basketball is very talented. There are many players on this roster that are going to lead this team to a lot of dubs. Do not fret. They will be fine. You just hate to think that, you know, man, I mean, this team could be even better. Because we all know, I mean, throughout the course of a college basketball year or any sport we're talking about, injuries happen. They happen. They are inevitable in the world of sports. And you want as many bodies as possible when you are going through, especially a year like an average Michigan State men's basketball schedule where you're playing big dogs on the regular, especially at the start. You know, you're playing the Kentuckys and you're playing Seton Hall and, you know, they play in the you know, in Hawaii, in the Maui Invitational come Monday. You know, they play on Monday and then they play on Tuesday, you know, Wednesday. You know, they're going to be playing some legit competition out there in Hawaii. You know, and shout out to all of the beat reporters who will be making that trip to Hawaii around the Thanksgiving holiday. You know, Graham Couch and Chris Solari and all you guys. Matt Charbonneau, I'm incredibly jealous of you guys. That's awesome stuff. But, yeah, I mean, MSU is going to be final. And not to mention, oh, yeah, Duke sits on that schedule on December 3rd. My goodness. So I just don't understand the process. It needs to be clarified and changed. Simple as that. Alex comments and says, and by the way, Alec Rio chimed in my ear a minute ago, and we are having trouble with our phones right now. So weigh in via social media. If you tried to call in and couldn't get through, apologies. Something is going on with our phone lines. I want to be transparent with you guys there. So you can try it again, I guess. I don't know, 517-355-WKAR. If you don't get in, comment at our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News, as many of you are already doing. And you can tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. Alex comments and says, Izzo is right. The NCAA seems to have no protocol for these waivers. Ben comments and says the NCAA is a joke. Yeah, I'm with you guys. I don't know what the criteria is when evaluating a student athlete and that student athlete's transfer request. What grants eligibility immediately? And what doesn't? I would like to see that laid out, because right now it is so gray and not black and white. All right, what I want to do right now, let's hit our final break, and I want to address the Colin Kaepernick story before we close out the hour with Reflection Friday, because that's a hot topic, and many of you have asked my thoughts on it. You'll get that. On the other side of this final break, you are listening to the Friday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Yeah.
And welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm getting a few comments. Aaron and Alex saying, "Don't go there, Al." When it comes to the Colin Kaepernick story, I got to. You know, it's many of you have asked. I've been having conversations these last few days with coworkers and, you know, the homies and, you know, a lot of different people. And there are so many different opinions on this. You're going to get mine right now. I just want to say this. I'm not going to be long here. Not going to be long, I promise. I think that when you look at what happened last weekend with Colin Kaepernick, was it fishy or not? That was pretty fishy. First off, the NFL deciding to offer, out of the blue, this came out of nowhere. Out of the blue, the NFL decides to say, "Hey, Cap, we'll give you a workout. Let's give you a workout." Yeah, it's going to be, you know, even though it's week 10 of the NFL season, most of the year has gone by already. It's week 10. We're going to give you a workout, though. And you know what? We're going to hold that workout on a Saturday. Now, mind you, we all know about the history of the league when it comes to Colin Kaepernick. We know how the majority of owners feel about Colin Kaepernick, who decided to kneel as a form of protest during the national anthem, highlighting inequality here in our great nation, highlighting police brutality here in these United States of America. The majority of owners, it's safe to say, did not like Colin Kaepernick rocking that boat. Because, again, the nation, I feel like, was kind of split down the middle when it came to that topic. Some in Cap's corner, some saying, "Cap, it's the national anthem. What are you doing?" I had no problem with it. Protests are meant to rock the boat and open your eyes a bit. We all know that history, okay? And Colin Kaepernick, he has been blackballed out of the league. All right, I think we can all agree on that as well, right? If you don't agree with that, you're playing yourself. Colin Kaepernick, especially when you look at the shape that he's in right now, you know, the scouts, the NFL scouts who did attend that open practice, open showcase this past weekend, they said that there were some who were on record to say that Colin Kaepernick still has an elite arm. And when you look at his body, he looks like he has stayed in shape. All right, just look around the league right now where Nathan Peterman, who is like the poster boy for horrible quarterback play, he even got a preseason look from the Oakland Raiders. You know, right now in the league, 51 QBs have started games this year, many of whom don't have nearly the skill or the track record of Colin Kaepernick. Phillip Rivers and Mason Rudolph threw as many interceptions in their most recent game as Cap did in 12 outings in 2016. And in his final NFL season, he had 16 touchdowns and a 90.7 rating. If you're telling yourself that Colin Kaepernick does not belong on an NFL roster based on his talent right now, you're crazy. And again, you're playing yourself. It looks fishy. And then, you know, this whole thing, we don't really know about this whole waiver situation. There's so many gray areas to this story. The whole waiver situation, some people are saying it was a standard waiver that the NFL gives to all players during a workout. Some are saying that it wasn't a standard waiver and it protected the NFL from any lawsuits out of Cap's camp. So many people are looking at it and saying, "Oh, you tried to have him sign this waiver so that you could protect yourself from any future lawsuits from Cap." And Cap wasn't down with that, so said, "Okay, we're going 60 miles down the road at a local high school. Also, you know, you wouldn't let him control the footage," and so on and so forth. That's all so fishy to me. So fishy. The footage, really? Just let the man control the footage. And this whole waiver situation, it all seems fishy to me. But I'll say this. There is a part of me, I got to be honest with you guys, there is a part of me that looks at this story and says, gosh, I don't know if Colin Kaepernick wants to play in the NFL. I question it. I do. Because when you just look at this, I mean, Colin Kaepernick right now has a Nike endorsement, and you know people are going to eat this up. He has a Nike endorsement right now that is like star level. And since Cap's endorsement with Nike, Nike's value is up $26.2 billion. Wow. That's amazing. He's going to have a shoe that's coming out. I believe it's either going to be, it's going to be soon. I believe next month. Don't quote me on that, though. But he's going to have a shoe out. The branded Cap icon jersey that was first reported by Yahoo Sports back in 2018. You know, this footwear rollout speculated to be on track, with again, with this holiday season. And, you know, Nike is expecting a nationwide release of the shoe, yeah, early next month. And then, you know, the jersey sales, and this is all skyrocketed. Kaepernick also, you know, getting that, you know, he got some cheese that was estimated to be around like from 1 million upwards of 10 million when it comes to that, you know, what happened with him in the league. So I don't know. This platform that he has right now is so lucrative. I mean, how lucrative? I honestly think that maybe Cap's image may take a hit if he is not a starting quarterback in the NFL, and he, you know, if he's like a backup, which is most likely what's going to happen here. Cap will probably be a backup in the league. That's not a sexy image for Colin Kaepernick, being the backup quarterback in the NFL. Backup? And then if he was a starter, like he hasn't played in 3 years, if he goes out there and mucks it up, I mean, that's not real sexy either for the image of Colin Kaepernick. So why would you play football anymore? You know, that viewpoint was capsulized by former Steelers coach turned TV analyst Bill Cowher on NFL Today. I was watching when he said, quote, "It is about the platform. He does not like football. It is not important to him. He loves the platform." And then ESPN Stephen A. Smith, he has gone viral with his take. Quote, "He wants to be a martyr, but guess what? It ain't working this time," end quote. I'm looking at this and saying, look, man, you're making a ton of cheese from Nike. You got your own shoe coming out. You got your own jersey coming out. It's all about image, you know, and I get it. And I feel like, you know, in many, many different ways here, the message of what Colin Kaepernick was trying to get across when he was kneeling, we've kind of forgot about it. Have we not? We've kind of forgot about it. So I think it's a fair question to question whether or not Cap wants to play in the league again. You know, and then, you know, people are debating about the Kunta Kinte T-shirt as well. You know, if you got reluctant owners out there, why wear the T-shirt? Again, I stand with this. Look, it shouldn't matter what you're wearing for an NFL workout. That shouldn't matter. He should wear whatever he wants. But if you got reluctant owners, why even invite that, you know, kind of controversy in the camp? I get that side as well. And then the post-workout statement in which he challenged NFL commish Roger Goodell and all of the 32 owners to, quote, "stop running from the truth, stop running from the people," end quote. I don't know. I got to say this as well, man. And then the fact that there were fans out there with Kaepernick jerseys and they were rooting for him, it turned into this spectacle, this public spectacle this past weekend, that a part of me said to myself, Cap just kind of did this for attention. I don't know. All speculation. I'm just taking you through my train of thought here. Do I think that Cap wants to play in the NFL? I can no longer answer that confidently with a yes. And the other side of that says that why would you want to play in the NFL anymore when your brand is so big right now? You're making cheese off Nike right now. Why? And maybe that is influenced Cap's thinking in this whole thing to play in the league. I don't know. There's a lot of I don't knows in this story. But I just feel like I know one thing that is true, though. One thing is true, that the message that Cat was trying to protest for, which is such an admirable one, and I give the brother props 1,000 for this. Many of you didn't agree with me on this and still don't agree with me on this, but I loved his protest. The message, it's being lost right now, I tell you that. All right, I'm done. That's all I got. Alec Rio, we didn't hear from you once this whole hour. I'm sorry. That's what happens when you miss 3 days of current sports. I had a lot to get off my chest. Anything that you want to say going into the weekend? MSU beats Rutgers, right, Saturday? Yeah?
Yeah, I definitely believe so. You know, it would be crazy if Rutgers got their eighth ever Big Ten win against MSU. And I believe at that point, you know, say in the hypothetical situation that Rutgers were to beat MSU, then I don't know. I don't know what would ensue. There would be absolute chaos.
Oh, man. You'll have people out in the middle of the street and on Grand River saying, D'Antonio, step down or fire D'Antonio. It will be really bad. They lose to Rutgers.
Be bad.
Wow. All right, let's not even think about that. I think MSU wins by at least 3 scores. We'll see.
I agree.
We'll see. We'll see you Monday, folks. Be easy, people.